We're starting at the bottom of Nun Chet Amud Bet at the two dots. Okay, so since we were talking about shaving hair, okay, on the body, and right, we had the whole thing yesterday, is hakafat kol harosh. Is it hakafat? Is it not hakafat if you were to shave off your peot and the rest of your hair? We saw the different options there. Now we're going to start with Amar Rav, the statement of Rav. Mekel adam kol gufo betar. Okay, a person, if he wants to, is allowed to shave his whole, all his bodily hair. Okay, this has nothing to do with Nazir, Mitzora. This is just a random guy wants to. So now they say, Meitive, what are you talking about? It says in a bright, Ma'avir beit hashech, yu beit ha'arva, ha'reza loke. Now what's he loke because of? Okay, he was loke, we're going to get to this later, because of lo yubash gever simlat isha. Okay, that this is not a manner typical of men to do, to shave their bodily hair, and therefore doing it would be, according to this, hareza loke, sounds like isher mida oraita. So now they're going to say, so how could Rav say you could shave off all your bodily hair against this explicit braita that says you're loke? So they give an answer, habita'ar habimisparayim. Shaving with a razor is problematic because that's derech hanashim to do it, but using scissors to cut is not a problem. So then they said, yafeh, except that Rav said, Vaha Rav nami bitar kamar. Rav said, Mekel adam kogufo bitar. Seems pretty unlikely that that's what he meant. Not, you know, with scissors and dafka, not a razor. So the Gemara says, Ke'ein ta'ar. Okay, he meant, you shouldn't take off hair with something like a razor, but not a razor actually itself, right? Difficult answer. Okay, better question than answer. Amar Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Hamavir beit hashech yu beit ha'erva loke. Okay, so Rabbi Chiya now passes down this halacha in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, the way we saw in the Braita, that you get malko. Now they say meitive, wait, but there's another source that seems to contradict. Now loke, you have to understand, in general, loke means malkot, right? That always means. But there's two types of malkot that are talked about. Generally, when you say loke, you mean malkot mida oraita. There's something called makat mardut, which is malkot mida rabbanan, which means you're not chayv midoraita, but the rabbis in certain instances would also say you get malko for doing something, and that's called makat mardut. So Rabbi Yochanan says loke, which sounds like doraita. So they say, but wait, there's a braita that says havarat sear einami divrei Torah ela midivrei sofrim. It says the taking, right, removing bodily hair is only midorabanan, not midoraita. So they say, no, don't worry, my loke einami dekamer. What's the loke that he said? Midrabanan. Okay, when he meant it, he meant Malkot Midrabanan Makat Mardut. Okay, second case today where we had somebody say something because a braita seems to contradict it, we've changed exactly what they said, right? The first was Rav who said you can shave your whole body with a razor. We changed it and said not with a razor. Then Rabbi Yochanan came and said you get Malkot. We changed it. We said, well, you don't really get Malkot Midrabanan, you only get Malkot Midrabanan. It's only Midrabanan. Ika de Amre, here we read the sugya differently now. Amar Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Hamavir beit hashech yu beit ha'erva loke mishum lo yubash gever simlat isha. Right, which now here it seems he says, right, you get malkot for in isher midoraita, right? The pasuk says it explicitly. That would be clear that it's midoraita. Meitive, and then they bring, right, this is just reading the whole sugya in a different way. The statement of Rabbi Yochanan was said using the pasuk also. And then they brought a meitive to say, havarat seari nami divrei Torah ela midivrei sofrim. And then they answer, instead of answering, oh, he really meant a rabbanan, you can't say that in this case, because he said, you get malko from this pasuk. So they say, ki hai tana de tanya, he holds like a different, right? Remember, with his rules, when an emora disagrees with a braita or a tanaitic source, either you can say, we misunderstood what he said, which is the first approach, which is to say, you know, he really didn't mean malko midoraita, he meant midorabana. And then we matched him up perfectly with the Tanaitic source. Or another approach is to say that the Tanaitic source might exist, but he has a different Tana that he can rely on. Okay. Other cases, by the way, we've seen, which doesn't work in this case because this bright is very clear, but sometimes you change what the Braita really meant, right? In other words, you can either say the Amori didn't really mean what he said, or you can say the Tana didn't really mean what he said, and he really meant something else, and then you change the Braita. But this, that's not what they're doing here. They say, Ki hai Tana, he holds like this other Tana. De Tanya, here's the source, Hamavir beit hashechi ubeit erva, hareze omer vishum lo yibash gever simlat isha. V'tana kama, hai lo yib... one second. Right. He holds, in other words, sorry, he holds like this Tana who says that it's dafka mita oraita. In other words, the one Tana said, the first braita we saw, which was it's on en elam midibrei sofrim, it's not midibrei Torah. And the other Tana says, no, if you do it, you're over mishum lo yabash gever simlat isha. So basically, in the end, we have a machloket Tanaim, right? One Tana says it's midirabana, and one Tana says it's mita oraita. And Rabbi Yochanan paskins like the Tana who says it's mita oraita. Very simple. Okay? Now they're going to say, V'tana kama, so if Tana kama doesn't hold, right, he only holds this midrabana. So now we have, in other words, until now, what have we said? Shaving for a man, if he shaves all the hair of his, you know, bodily hair, okay, let's say he wants to shave his legs. So that would be either asur mita oraita mishum lo yabash gever simlat isha, okay? He can't, okay, and we're going to talk about this isur in a few minutes, more in depth, once we see the sources. But lo yabash gever, he can't wear, and therefore, it's not just wearing, we're going to see, but it's also hagud, right? He can't do things that women do, like shaving. The one who says is midrabanan, so what's the midrabanan, and what does he do with the pasuk midoraita? Lo yabash gever simlat isha. So they say, v'tanakama, hai lo yabash gever, my darish bay. If he doesn't learn it for things like this, what does he use it for? Mibayle l'chidatanya, he needs it for a different braita, to teach a different halacha. Lo yabash kli gever alisha, my Talmud lomar, im shelo yabash ish simlat isha v'isha simlat ish, hare kvar ne'emar to'evahi, ve'en kan to'eva. Ela shelo yabash ish simlat isha v'yeshev ben hanashim, v'isha simlat ish v'teshev ben ha'anashim. He has a whole different perspective, and what sets him off is the word in the pasuk. I'll read the whole pasuk. Lo yihyeh, okay, it's the Torah or number Aleph, if you have it. Lo yihyeh kli gever al isha, v'lo yabash gever simlat isha, ki to'avat Hashem elokecha kol oseh ele. So what does he say? The word to'ava, we've seen this word before. What is it? It's always in the context of inappropriate behavior. So what does he say? The only time when you're not allowed to do something is if it's in the context of something inappropriate. Okay, you're wearing it for inappropriate purposes. You want to end up in some sort of snoot situation. Okay, so that's when it is. So he says, why do you need this? It says to'avahi, and there's only to'ava, right? The whole issue is, if he wears simlat isha, what's he going to do? He's going to yeshev ben hanashim. That's the concern, that he's going to end up, if he dresses like a woman, right? You think about these people who, right, dress like the opposite sex. He's saying, if you do that, then you're going to end up hanging out in their company too much, and that's going to cause inappropriate behavior. Okay? We don't want the men hanging out with the women and the women hanging out with the men. Okay? And that's the issue. So according to him, this whole pasuk is somewhat neutralized, right? And we haven't not to paskin this way. It would make all sorts of things very different if we had paskin this way, but we don't really paskin this way. So now we're going to see the second opinion. So he basically thinks it's all midrabanan because midoraita, there's no isur. It's only asur when you're basically dressing up like the other to hang out in their company. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov omer, minayin shelo teitza isha b'klei zayin lemilchama. Here's another opinion. How do we know that a woman can't go out with weapons to war? Talmud lamar, lo yiyek kli geber al isha v'lo yabash geber simlat isha. Okay, from that pasuk, what do you learn? Shelo yitaken ish b'tikunei isha. Men shouldn't be involved in things that women are, you know, fix themselves up with. And women shouldn't be involved in things that men fix themselves up with, you know, with weapons. You know, you think of weapons as a man's item. Okay, so that's the way Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says it. And that's the way we actually paskin. Okay? I think I'm trying to figure out if we should read till the end. Let's stop here and we'll do some interesting things about this because it obviously raises very basic questions, okay, about this isser in general, okay? First, you have the basic issue of kli gever, and is it usher to wear pants because pants are kli gever? And there's clearly a lot of talk that's been said about this. There's all different approaches. One of the main sources is the Bach, who brings up that if you do it mipnei chama or hatzina v'hakshamim, like if you wear it because it's cold and you want to just protect your body, and as you, again, it depends, even though we don't paskin, like the first opinion, the Tanakama, it does depend on your kavana. Why are you doing it? Are you doing it because you want to dress like a man? Or are you doing it because that's just the most comfortable, or that's the most practical, or that's the most protective, and you know, you have other motivations, and then it's less of an issue. There's all sorts of issues. What if it's unisex clothing? What if it's clothing that's, you know, pants that are made for women? Well, then, you know, there's either, you could talk about unisex. There's a source that talks about husband and wife, I think we learned it, I forget where it comes up, who shared a scarf. They were wearing the same scarf. So how could they wear the same scarf if it's, you know, so they talk about that. If it's unisex, you know, it's not necessarily something that's meant for men particularly or women particularly. So
there's Shabbat, I think.
It was in Shabbat? With going out. What could you walk out in? It could be it was from there, I think. So there's all different discussions about different, you know, when exactly does it apply? So again, does it apply if you're doing it for pragmatic purposes rather than for, you know, that? Does it apply nowadays when there's clothing that's designed for women and clothing that's designed for men? Or even unisex clothing, like a pair of jeans, which men or women, let's say, could both wear, then, or sweatpants, you know, then it also might not come, because it might not come in that context, because that's just unisex clothing. That's not men's clothing or women's clothing particularly. Okay. Another issue where this goes is into the realm of tzitzit and tefillin, that possibly the issue of tzitzit or tefillin comes under this, and that's why women don't wear it, because it's considered levush. And there's a machloket about whether you consider it levush or not, and whether it's kli gever or not. Again, like I've seen talitot that women wear that are designed for women. So again, you could, might be able to say the same argument. Well, that's a talit for women. So anyway, there's different discussions about this. The main place I want to take this, though, is the issue of the army and girls in the army, and can girls carry weapons? And this is one of the sources that the rabbis bring up to say girls shouldn't go into the army because of this. And there's lots of discussions and issues about it. I read a whole bunch of different things, but one, I took this from Rav Danny Wolf. He's from the Gush. He wrote this on the Beit Hillel website. They had a whole thing a few years ago where they came out and made a statement about how it's important that girls go to the army, religious girls. And he basically did a whole, you know, I think it was a collaborative effort, but I'm not sure. But anyway, he wrote this section. So he brings up a bunch of things. He talks about the Rambam, the Torah, and the Shulchan Aruch all paskin like Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. Okay, and they say that women can't go out with weapons, lamelchama, because of kli gever. One of the things he points out is that their opinion is that there's two different approaches. One is Dafka the Rambam, the Torah, and the Shulchan Aruch, who are main, right? You call them the standard poskim. Okay, they talk about how the issue is really in levush, and what he wants to distinguish between is weapons that people wear, like, you know, especially in those days, an armor, and, you know, way back when they wore armor and hats and all that kind of stuff. That's clothing, as opposed to a gun, which is actually not clothing. And he says that none of the modern postgame, you know, like all the ones who are against this, don't bring that up. But it seems clear from the main postgame, the Rambam, the Shulchan Aruch, that they're all talking about things like that that you wear on your body and not things like guns, which are, you know, and it's a separate part. So he claims that that's one issue. He says there's a thing about, there's a source in Kiddushin that says, Ein darka shel isha la'asot melchama. Okay, so he says that's like a nohal chevrati. It's not seen as a halachic statement that they're not allowed to. It's just making a statement that the women don't generally go out to war. But that doesn't mean that if women generally do go out to war in a different time period, that that would apply. He points out, by the way, that the Ram and the Shulchan Aruch and the Torah, they all use the terminology of that it's dependent on minhag ha-makom and what's nahug and what's generally done. And that obviously, as we know, can change. One of the other sources people bring up, he doesn't talk about this too much in this section, but there's another issue about the Mohammed Mitzvah and Mohammed Rishut. And there's a source that says everybody goes out to a Mohammed Mitzvah, even women. So they say, you know, then you obviously have to define what's Mohammed Mitzvah, what's Mohammed Rishut, and then it's where do you get into that? He talks about Rav Avadya Yosef, he quotes Rav Avadya Yosef, who, this two big tshuvas about Rav Avadya Yosef and Rav Moshe Feinstein about this issue in general. They're, like Rav Moshe Feinstein, I mean, I have it here. Again, we don't have time to go into it all, but he starts like this. You'll find this interesting. Also, mean Yana de Yom or Mamash, what's going on today. He starts out like this. He says, "Uba had to be Yishuv Gush Etzion." Okay, I have to bring up that one. "Uba od Yishuvim ka'ela shehem smuchim la'aravim." Okay, that are near Arab territories. "Sheyesh b'am rabbeis son eisr alvarotzchim yimach shamam." "Shenachutz l'chol l'cham Yisrael k'sheyotzei l'derech l'aseti mo neshek." It says people should carry weapons. You know, people in those areas need to carry weapons. So are women allowed to carry weapons? And there he goes into this whole tshuva about are women allowed to carry weapons. And he suggests a few possible directions. He says, one is that neshek is not something decorative, it's not kishut, right? That maybe this whole issur is when somebody wears something derech kishut, to decorate yourself, whereas weapons are not for decorating purposes. He says, this isn't going out l'milchama, they're just doing this, you know, here and there when they need to protect themselves. And obviously he brings up, it's pikuach nefesh, which is another issue. And he says, when you go out to war, you don't generally go out with a pistol. You go out with a big machine gun. You know, you go, you know, he doesn't say that, but you know, obviously this is kli neshek katan, and that's not like what we're talking about. When it talks about kli neshek l'mochama that women can't wear, we're talking about something much more serious than a gun. So for all those reasons, he suggests that maybe there's room for it. And then, you know, he clearly says in the end that when it comes to someone who's threatened by Arabs and that's, you know, and they need to protect themselves, for sure there's no issue. He clearly doesn't go in the direction of women should serve in the army. Yeah. But, you know, he deals with that particular issue. Right, so Rav Avadya Yosef. So I don't remember the whole gist of everything he says, but here he quotes one part of him where he quotes the Rashba, who says that when we're talking about defining minhag hamakom, this is an interesting point, who's minhag hamakom? So he says, clearly we can't define that with begadim shenlubashu ayidei putzim bi'isur. Their minhag is not considered minhag hamakom. Like, that's also, right? What does minhag hamakom mean? The way everybody on the street is dressed? Or the way, you know, people in our... Now, that would obviously... When you're talking about women in army, you know, that could go both ways. You know, people will say, you see, so women are going to the army, but they're not the religious women. Now, of course, nowadays that whole, you know, shift has happened. I saw one source where they said someone didn't ask the rabbi on kippah. And I was expecting, kippah would be open-minded. You know, they talk about, women go to the army. So he basically says, I forget the whole thing, but he said the whole diyun that rabbis are talking about are only women who go anyway, but clearly they shouldn't go. But if they do, then blah, blah, blah. But like, I forget, but the whole gist was, I think he said, like, it's clearly you shouldn't do it, but women are doing it anyway, so, you know, you should know what you're getting into. Yeah, and I mean, he didn't really say it was mutar because of that. I forget exactly the gist, but it was clearly, like,
not...
And
you make the argument that every war Israel has ever... fought in was not a choice war.
Yes.
Okay, Lebanon is a question. But
so even if you say that they can go out to war, it doesn't necessarily mean that they can carry neshek. So there's a whole machloket. This is very interesting. There's a whole machloket. When women do go out to war, there's two approaches. Do they go out to war meaning they take care of the home front? That they're involved in the efforts, but they're not the ones out there fighting the war. They're doing other things. You know, even that I saw people who said, you know, clearly women can go into Modi'in and things like that, but not into jobs where they're carrying weapons, more combat units. So
I heard I'm sorry.
Yeah, no.
I heard the halachic reason mainly for women in combat units, and the reason why the Rabbanim didn't want them to pass over enemy lines was based on prisoners of war and what would happen to them if they were caught by the... Mm-hmm. That more so than the... You know.
Right, so that's an additional issue. I mean, there's religious, you know, their religious well-being. There's a million different issues. I'm focusing particularly on this one issue and how this one issue, like in any question, there's a lot of issues that come up, so I'm raising just this issue because we can end up talking about this forever. But the point is that there is room to say it's a mochemet mitzvah and we're fighting for our survival. And according to those who would understand that that when women go out, when it says everybody goes out to Mohammed Mitzvah, that includes women doing anything. Now, it's like I said, there's two approaches to it. So you, there's definitely, what I want to show today is, sorry, I always like to show that there's definitely room for saying this is not kli gever, either it's not malbush, it's not wearing, you're not wearing your neshek. You know, even if you string it over your shoulder, you know, it's not necessarily called wearing. You're certainly not wearing it as a tachshit, you know, if you say it's only tachshitim. You're doing it for, there's another, we didn't talk about this, but there's another, if you're doing it for a particular toelet, a particular purpose, not for, you know, whether it's pritzut or all those other things, but you have, you want to defend your country. That's, you know, whether you say it's Mohammed Mitzvah or not, you have a purpose in what you're doing, in which case you're not doing it for some, you know, inappropriate reason. Or the other thing I forgot to mention, which is most of the this root of this issue, either you see like Tanakhama that it's Mishum Pritzu, they're going to hang out with the men, but the other flip side is to say it's like the Goyim. So if you're going out to war, to fight, to protect your country, you're obviously not trying to be like the Goyim, you know? And the other thing is, the other issue that comes up that I mentioned is, are you trying to be like men, you know, say, oh, like, we're learning Daf Yomi so we could be like the men, right? In other words, it's like that issue of, are you doing it for your own sake or are you doing it to be like men? Now, obviously, who's judging whose motivation? And are there women who go to the army because they want to be like the men? You know, I think most of them are not sacrificing their lives just so that they could be like men. I think they're doing it because they believe in it and they think that they should be responsible just like the men are, in which case, again, you're missing that motivation, that's a possible motivation behind this law, that you're trying to lihidamot legever. You know, that's why you can't do these things. So, anyway, there's a lot of issues that come up. There's clearly room, but, you know, and again, minhag ha-makom, and the fact that everything has shifted, and now the minhag ha-makom among religious women even is to more so go to the army, or, I don't know, the percentages, but definitely a much higher percentage go into the army, also becomes more normal.
So this is all based on Rav Eliezer's reading that kli gever is a weapon.
Yes.
But you can go a whole different direction with this.
Yes.
I mean, it doesn't necessarily have to be a weapon. It could be the hammer. It could be
yes.
tools. It could be
But they paskin like
it
him.
It could be farming tools.
Yes.
So.
But the psak, in other words, he said it, and the poskin paskin that way. But like I said, there's a lot of room within this. You know, that's what that means. Maybe it only means wearing armor, because that's clothing.
Maybe it has nothing to do with war. Maybe it has to do with trade. Maybe it has to do with men with farmers.
You're saying the original Isser, but we don't live... Right, but a halachic system doesn't work. What did the Torah mean? The halachic system works. What did the Torah mean to them? What did the... You know, it's more what did the poskim mean when they poskim like the Tana who said this, who poskim, that's how he understood the pasuk. And now we're left with what the, you know, what the poskim say about it.
Is there ever a case where you throw out bad psakim during history because that's
sometimes
mess you up?
Yeah. Right. Sometimes they
mess you up.
There's sometimes where they
if it's hierarchical like law, like there's a precedent. It's not in the middle of very bad.
Sometimes there's a need.
Yeah. You know, like honestly, it's like a bad game of telephone, whereas it
yes.
goes through so many different rabbis that I feel like it loses. Who knows what
it also gets influenced by things going on by history, by historical circumstances, and yeah.
So
sometimes there are situations.
Different guns than men. If you go into the army, they get less heavy guns. Right. So maybe that's not really kli gever because it's not really the one that the men are taking, but it's different. I mean, you could interpret.
So that's the whole question of interpretation. You know, that's where Shiva Chadasha and all those egalitarian minyanim come. They say the Mishnah says Hakol Olin LeMinyan Shiva. Everyone can get an aliyah, including women. But Ein Osin Ken Mipnei Darkei Tzibur. So what do they say? Yeah, Darkei Tzibur men. You know, it wasn't Mipnei Kvod HaTzibur. Because of respect for the community. It wasn't respectful because the person that got up to lane would read the Torah. And if a woman laned, it meant that there were no men to lane. So nowadays, it wouldn't be disrespectful if a woman got up. It wouldn't appear like, oh, none of the men know how to lane, besides the fact that the people who are ole aren't even reading. You know, so, although there are women lane also, but that's their theory. That yeah, the Mishnah said this, but... You know, it's set up for a particular reason in a particular time, and just not everybody's willing to change halacha that way. That's the whole question. Are you willing to say, well, the Mishnah doesn't apply, so throw it out the window, you know, or keep the first part, dump the second part?
I don't think it's throwing out the window. I just think it's reinterpreting it in modern day, in modern times.
No, but it says, ain't no seem, you know, I don't remember the words, but it says you don't do it because of that. So, but it's saying you don't do it because of that, and that is not that's existing. Right. So therefore, yeah. We go back to the beginning
yeah,
of the Mishnah.
So once again, you're not
that's what I'm saying. But that's the whole question. I'm saying there's a debate about this. Yeah. Can you do that or can't you? And there's legitimacy to both opinions, I think. So it's just a matter of where, and then you have to consider all sorts of other issues, but of chavrati issues. But anyway, that's a whole big question. How can can we change things they say or not, and how much so? And that's
can I change
question.
The subject?
Yeah,
which is this subject?
Yeah,
but
a we're going to get back to this. Yeah,
men swimmers, they have to remove all their hair.
Men's competitive swimmer.
More and more,
right?
Like Jewish
well, bicyclists.
Swimmer.
Bicyclists too. They also have to shave because they're not doing
it. So then again, according to those who say that you need it for pragmatic purposes, then there's room for it.
So are women in the army. They're not going to be doing it to be like men.
That's exactly what I said. That's exactly the point. That's why I definitely think there's plenty of room for that. I don't think there isn't, but major poskim are from more to the right are not willing to say that, but also they're motivated by all sorts of other issues, which is they don't want, and as you have to remember, what's motivating them to not be willing to understand those interpretations is that they don't want their girls going to the army because they don't think it's healthy religiously, and they don't think it breaks the fabric of,
we need some new poskim.
So there are definitely poskim who got out, and that's why Beit Hillel came out with this whole thing. They're full of open-minded rabbis who basically said, and they're not even the most open-minded Beit Hillel. They're of the mainstream, and
it doesn't seem very satisfying what they came out and said. I don't...
Why? Because they said it's fine. No, I brought up different things he brought in, but the sikkum is 100%. No, they clearly came out and said women should be allowed to do this. Here's his sikkum. Neshek eino levush. Okay, and therefore he says, you're better off preferring the Psikha of the Rambam rather than these other, sideline interpretations that seem to say it includes things that aren't Lavush. He says you should just take the option that's Lavush, which is the mainstream, and Neshek is not Lavush. And then he says it's Taloi b'minhag ha-makom, and since nowadays many women in the world and in Israel carry Neshek, there's no issue. And there's Achronim, Shitirim Mabush Ish, when it's not done for, again, he brings up the issue of it being purposeful. It's for a purpose and not for some other, a bad reason. And then, and he says, there's no reason to let sore, not mishum kili gever, and not because ain darkash elisha to go out to war. And he says, for sure, it's fine. Okay. Tov. So, let's keep going on the sugya now. Okay, so now they say, I'm Rav Nachman ben Nazir Mutar. Okay, so what does he say? Let's see where we were. We were, and then he says, ben Nazir Mutar. I forgot what the context is. Right, and then he says, Lehel Chata Kavate, about shaving.
Yeah.
Right, that the Nazir can shave. When the Nazir is shaving his hair, because he's allowed to shave all his hair, they say, while he's doing that, he's allowed also to shave the hair of his body if he wants, even though he doesn't need to, right? The mitzora shaves his whole body, not the nazir. But they say the halacha is not like that. Amar le rabbanan le rashum bar abba, chazina le rabbi Yochanan de late lay. I saw Rabbi Yochanan. One second. Get another context here. This is what he's saying. He's saying, chazina le rabbi Yochanan de late lay. Didn't you notice that Rabbi Yochanan doesn't have any hair on his body? Okay, this is like a strange thing. This is just like what the story the other day when the guy said about the kids, right? I saw who shaves your kids' peyot if you're not allowed to shave the peyot. So he says, I saw Rabbi Yochanan, he doesn't have hair. So how could that be? And Rabbi Yochanan was the one who said, right, you're a lokeh. So how could that be? So he says, Amar lahom machmat zikna nashru. His hairs fell out because he got old, okay, and not because of this. Now, by the way, what could they also have answered? He used misparayim and not a ta. Remember, we said the whole thing was you can't use a razor, but maybe you can use a scissor. Some of the some of the commentaries say that he saw that he had a very close shave, that there was nothing there. Like, you could tell the difference between someone who shaves with scissors or with a razor. By the way, this is just, I was thinking of both these stories together in the context of that and the other one who said, who does your children, who shaves your children? It's always that concept that leaders have to be very careful of appearances, right? It's almost that annoyance of, having to always worry about your appearances and what it may, you know, people are always going to question you and criticize you and say, well, why do you do this? Didn't you say that? And how could that be? And anyway, see, it comes up here too. Hahud itchayv negida kameda Rabbi Ami. He was mitchayv malkot, okay, in front of Rabbi Ami in Beit Dino. So now they go to give him malkot, and what happens? Igale beit hashechi. While he pulls up his shirt, I guess, to get the lashes, they see that his armpits, they saw he didn't shave. Okay, this is a very strange story. We're going to see in a minute. So they notice that he hadn't shaved his armpits. Amar lahom Rabbi Ami, shavkua, shavkua, leave him alone. Don't give him malkot. Dein min chevrayahi. Who? He's part of the rabbis. He's Talmid Chacham. Okay, now here, this seems to contradict, right? The perception is that there were many Amaretzim, let's say, who shaved their armpits. And when he saw that this guy didn't shave his armpits, he realized that he was a Talmid Chacham and knew the halacha. Okay, so this is just interesting society, right? But yeah. In a sense, and this maybe proves the point that Rav Avadia Yosef wanted to make, which is you judge what minhag hamakom is based on the people who are shomrei halacha, not the people who are not shomrei halacha. Because apparently it was nahug, at least in his time, of the time of the story of Rabbi Ami, that the people who weren't shomrei halacha were shaving. And therefore, what he was saying is, you know, which is obviously tricky because... You know, where you draw the line is.
It sounds like he's disobeying another commandment, which was to be scrupulous in judgment.
So then we're going to say, what are you saying?
We don't know why he was convicted.
Right, so why was he convicted? And how could you say you're not going to get Malka when you're high Malka? Right, so again, they say it must be that he was getting Makat Mardu, like it was a rabbinic Malkot, and it was because they thought he, you know, and maybe they realized, well, maybe if he really does know halacha, maybe we misunderstood, and he really wasn't doing something that was deserving of Malkot, right?
I'm obviously
difficult. You're saying, yeah, I realized that you were saying something different.
I mean, you know, it's jumping to judgment about people. I mean,
right, that you're judging someone here, at least you're judging them favorably. You could say it's down l'chavzchu.
Right.
That he's going to say, well, if he's like this, then maybe it's only dal chavzchut. Maybe he's saying there's a good chance that this guy maybe really, you know, we saw this guy doing something, we misunderstood, we thought he was doing something bad and he didn't know what he was talking about. And now we realize maybe he really does know what he's talking about. And maybe we misjudged him.
Judgment.
But right, it is perverting judgment. And that's the question. Did he really do something wrong or did he not?
Right.
That's where, you know, what was the issue that made them? That's why I said it's a very strange story. Particularly the thing that they notice about him, you know, the fact that he has armpit hair makes him into a Talmid Chacham. It seems quite strange. Okay. Ba'amine Rav Mirabi Chia. Mahu legalech. Okay, are you allowed to... Right now we're talking about... Sorry, forgetting everything today. Okay, can you shave? Okay, this is just the same, right? This is nothing new. Are you allowed to shave your armpits? And Beit HaErva, Amar Le Asur. Amar Le Vahaka Gadil. But it grows and it bothers me. You know, it's like getting in my way. Amar Le Barpachte. He says Barpachte, which means Ben of Gdolim. Zman Yeshlo. Kozman Shu Gadel, no share. There's two ways of reading this. One is that it only has a certain period of time and then it starts falling out, which is a strange interpretation because we know that's really not the case. Some people say, no, it doesn't, it only grows to a certain extent and then it stops growing. Like your hair, you know, if you don't shave it, your hair's not going to grow and be, you know, to the floor, right? People have arm hair. It doesn't grow, right? It grows for a while and then it stops growing at a certain point. It doesn't keep growing. So, which also might not always be true. But anyway, he says, don't complain so much that it bothers you. And there, maybe that goes a little bit with the else question about, you know, if it gets in your way, like for swimming or biking or something like that, you know, maybe you would be allowed to, according to this, because he says, if it won't, you know, it won't bother you as much as you think it's going to bother you. But if it really is in your way, then it seems like it could be you're allowed to. Ba'amine rab mi rabbi chia. Mahu lachuch. Can you rub the hair in the hopes that it will fall out, basically. Like you're not using a shaver or a scissor, but you're rubbing it, and then that will cause it to eventually fall out. Amar le asur. Bebigdo mahu, can you do it with your clothing? Like take clothing and rub it against it in order to make it fall off? Amar le mutar. He said, that's already allowed. Ika de amre, some people say, no, that wasn't what he was asking. Can you rub your hair off with your clothes? Ba'amine betfila bebigdo mai. It was a totally different question he was asking about his clothing. You're not allowed to touch private parts of your body while you're davening. So what if you were to, let's say you have an itch somewhere. So you're allowed to itch it with a piece of cloth, okay, or with your clothes. Is that allowed? And Amarle Asur. And he says, no, that's not allowed. But then they say, even though he says it's Asur, Leitel Kaltakavate, we actually don't pass in that way, and it is allowed. Okay, end of that sugya. Now we're moving on back to our din, our halachot of Sveikot, right? All different types of Nizirim that, you know, there's some, remember we saw the Sufik Tumat Meh, we're going to get at the bottom of this page, which we're not going to see today, about the case with the Nazir that was Sufik Tameh, Sufik Metzora. We're going to see that inside tomorrow. But now we're back to the case of the two Nizirim. You remember there were two Nizirim, one was Tameh, one was Tahur. We don't know which one was Tameh, which one was Tahur. So they both bring two korbanot in the beginning. To one will be the Tuma and the Tara of, you know, each one. And then they bring one together at the end of the next 30 days. And then that will count for whoever's needed it. But what if, these cases get complicated, Medechad Mehem, one of them dies before they bring the korbanot. So now, what does the other one do? Because he's a Sefek Tameh, and now he has no way to get out of it because he doesn't have someone to share the korbanot with him. So, brilliant suggestion, Rabbi Yeshua, Amar Rabbi Yeshua, Yivakesh Achad Me'ashuk She'ador Kenegdo B'Nazir. He goes into the shuk, he finds some random guy, or maybe he finds a friend, because who else would be willing to do this for him, who says, I'll take upon myself a Nizir with you. Okay, now we're going to see that this guy has to now take upon himself 60 days, not just 30 days. He has to become a Nazir for 60 days. That's a big commitment to bring a friend along to do. And then what do they do? Va'omer, he says to him like this, Im tameh hayiti, hare ata nazir miyad. If I was tameh, then you're a Nazir miyad. Vim tahur hayiti, hare ata nazir har shloshim yom. And if I'm tahur, then you'll only become a Nazir in 30 days. So how does that work? Really, he's a Nazir now for 60 days, okay? But which is his real Nazir? Is it the first 30 days or the second 30 days? V'sofrim shloshim, they count 30 days, shloshim yom, umivim korban tum'ah v'korban tahara. And then they bring a korban tum'ah and a korban tahara, v'omer. And he says like this, im ani hu tameh, if I was the one who became tameh, then this korban tum'ah is mine, v'korban tahara shalcha, right? Remember, and then he said, you're only a Nazir 30 days. V'im ani hu hatahur, but obviously, since we don't know, right, the guy's going to have to keep his nazirut anyway, mishum sefek. V'im ani hu hatahur, and if I'm the one who's tahur, who never became tameh, that this is my korban tahara after the first 30 days, v'korban tumah b'sefek. And the korban tumah that we brought right now is a korban tumah misafek. Okay, now apparently, even though we talked about that you're not allowed to bring a korban misafek, we now learn that in this case, you could bring a korban misafek. We're going to see later how you do this. And then v'sofrim shloshim yom, and then you count another 30 days. Umivim korban tahara, and then he says, "Look, im ani hatameh, then korban tuma sheli. Then the first one was my korban tuma, and korban tahara shalcha, and the first korban tahara that we brought was yours. V'zeh korban taharati, right? In other words, if I was the one who was tameh, so then the first 30 days, right at the end of the first 30 days, we brought my korban tuma." And the korban tahara that we brought was for the other guy, right? For guy number two. And then, now, you're no longer a Nazir because you were only a Nazir 30 days. And now the korban tahara is mine. But if it's the flipped, okay, where are we? Suffix of Rim Shoshim Yam. Okay. V'imaniu hatahor. But if I was never tameh, then the first korban tahara was mine. What happened to the korban tuma? Well, the korban tuma we gave besafek. We didn't know, so we gave it. V'zehu, and now that we brought this korban tahara now, what did I say? If I was the one who was tameh, you're only a nazir in 30 days from now. So therefore, the korban we're bringing now is your korban tahara. Zeh korban tahara tcha.
If you're allowed to bring a korban to besafek, you didn't need the second guy. He could have bought it in 30 days, his own korban tuma besafek, and then 30 days,
60th day,
you could have brought his
Tahara.
Yeah, what does he need
the
volunteers for?
Right, so why don't they do that?
What does the second person add?
Right. So that's what Ben Zoma says. Okay, let's think about it for a minute. Amar lo Ben Zoma, exactly what you said. Umisho me'alo shi'idur kenegdo b'nazir. Who on earth is going to listen to him and become a Sefek Nazir for 60 days? Ela mevi chatata of ve'olat behema. He brings a chatat ha'of olat behema. Now, we're going to see this, that the chatat ha'of was the thing that you brought if you had a suffix, okay? This mishum suffix. Remember we talked about you can't bring a chatat misafik, or, you know, there's no chatat nedava, but there is such a thing as chatat ha'of that you bring on a suffix. Okay, so he brings a chatat ha'of misafik, ve'olat behema, And he brings an olah behemah v'omer. Im tameh hayiti hachatat mechovati v'haolah nedava. If I was really tameh, then the chatat is mechovati, and the olah is nedava. Why is it nedava? Oh, right. Im tameh hayiti, then he brings one set of korbanot. So he says, if I was tameh, then the chatat is going to go for my... Sorry, I got confused for a second. You only bring an asham when you're tameh. You bring the chatat when you're tahor. Remember we had that chart I made once, right? The asham goes for... So, right, you bring... He brings the chatat off and he says, if I am tameh, then this chatat will count for my tahor one, okay? Which I'm only going to bring the rest of it later, okay? And the ola, which I didn't need to bring for this, right? One second. The ola will just be an olat nedava, but why wouldn't it count for the ola of his tumah? One second. Okay, so they're saying he brings the korban, right, he brings this korban tahara at the end of the 30 days, and he says, if I was tameh, then the olah that I brought, that's what it is. Okay, I missed one thing, one second. He's bringing, okay, it doesn't say this, he's bringing two sets. In other words, chatana of, one second. The chatana of is mechovati, va'olah nedava. What would the olah be nedava? Okay, so, but he needs to bring an ola for the tummy. You know, we'll stop here for now. I'll get this more clear for tomorrow, and we'll pick up from here tomorrow. Okay, organize it better. Make a nice try.